So, a question I get asked all of the time from my community, in my group, via email, people I meet along the way is, Joe, I really want to start my online lifestyle business. I want to build a business that funds my lifestyle, but I just don't know where to start. I don't know what business I should be starting. I can't seem to find my passion. I don't know what my purpose is. I don't know what to focus on. There's too many ideas out there, and I don't know which one I should do. Where do I start? How do I pick a niche? This is a burning question, and I have to be honest with you, it's something I've experienced myself. When I first started out all them years ago in 2010, I struggled with which niche should I start, but I was coming at it from the wrong angle. Maybe you are too, and that's what we're going to discuss in today's podcast. Wouldn't you love to build a business you can run from anywhere in the world, whether that be your kitchen table or a beach in Fiji? Well, you're in the right place. Welcome to Your Lifestyle Business, the show where I bring you into my life as a traveling entrepreneur, and along with some of my awesome guests, give you tips and strategies for building your own freedom business. Welcome to the show. Let's make it happen. Hello there, how are you doing? Joe here, and welcome to today's episode of the Your Lifestyle Business podcast. Now, today we're kind of going back to the beginning. We're going to be talking about how you pick your niche, because so many people really just have no idea where they want to start, or they might already have started a business but be feeling like they're just too broad. They're in too many niches, and how do they actually drill it down and find that one niche that they need to be focusing on? And sometimes it's about how you approach it. And when I first started my business online, my whole approach was, what niche would I like to make money from? And whilst that is important, how we want to make money, obviously that's why we're doing this, to fund our lifestyle. The most important thing with a lifestyle business is, which niche are you going to enjoy doing the most? Now, there's kind of no right or wrong here. If you're in love with the game of business, if you just love the whole kind of I love running a business thing, then that specific niche is going to be less important to you. However, whenever I talk about a lifestyle business, I talk from my own personal perspective, where I have to do something I'm passionate about. I can't not. You know, you will hear people talking online, don't pick your passion, pick something when there's a market, pick something that's monetizable, you know, pick something where you're going to be able to go out and there's going to be lots and lots of buyers. And yes, that's all true. But unless you are in love with the game of business, unless being an entrepreneur is what really excites you, if you're anything like me, then you're going to be more motivated by the niche itself. In other words, what are you passionate about? But that question in and of itself can also lead to a lot of confusion, because many people will say, well, I don't really know what I'm passionate about, and I feel like I ought to have a purpose. And my response to that statement is that you don't necessarily have to have a life purpose. I do remember a podcast I listened to many years ago by James Altucher. I love James's podcast. He's gone a bit political lately, actually, so I haven't listened to so many, but I used to love all his podcasts. And he always said, hey, don't look at your life as if you've got one big core purpose in life. Look at your life as if you have themes, different themes, depending on what's happening in your life right now. So when I started online, I went into Facebook, and then that kind of expanded into social media, that expanded into online marketing. And then over the years, that expanded into what my niche is now, which is helping solopreneurs to build lifestyle businesses, businesses that fund their lifestyle, whatever that is to them. So you might start with a kind of a theme. So you may say, well, I'm going to start with an element of social media, or I'm going to start with blogging, or I'm going to start with this or whatever, and then I'm going to gradually expand as I go, because my passion is a lot bigger than where I'm starting. But anyway, I'm kind of digressing a little bit and sort of going off on a tangent here, because I want to go through the key steps to you really being able to figure out what your niche is. And number one, I would say, is you need to ask yourself, what type of business is it that you want to be in? So what type of business first? So in other words, what attracts you most? Do you want to write a blog? Would you love to be a really popular podcaster? Perhaps you'd like to start a business on YouTube. Maybe you would like to be an affiliate marketer. Perhaps that attracts you. Maybe you want to sell physical products. Perhaps you want to be a coach, or do you want to sell video courses, or would you like to write books? I think starting with the model rather than starting with the niche is really going to help you then decide what niche you should be in. So what business model really attracts you the most? That's where I would begin. So you might be in some kind of information marketing, which could be blogging or podcasting or publishing ebooks or doing video courses or becoming a coach or whatever. Or you might be in a service-based business where you're going to go out and you're going to freelance for other people. So you might be some kind of social media manager. Maybe you're into elements of digital marketing. Maybe you run Facebook ads. Maybe you're a great writer and you want to go and become a guest blogger for people. Maybe you're a great graphic designer, whatever that might be. So you might want to run a service-based business. Or maybe you just love the thought of selling tangible, physical products, but you haven't quite decided on what niche you want to do that in. So first step, I would say, in your kind of action plan of this week while thinking of your niche, is sit down and ask yourself which business model really kind of attracts you the most. And I'm going to link to my blog post, 189 lifestyle business ideas. It's quite a lot, but you can go through and you can have a look at some of the different lifestyle business ideas and see which ones. And do you know what? Don't overthink this. Run through the list of lifestyle business ideas and then just see which ones you immediately kind of think, oh God, that sounds good, and write it down. Maybe, before I move on from this point, maybe you will look at your list at the end and you'll think, oh my God, I want to do them all. I want to have a freelance business, I want to have a service-based business, and I want to have an information marketing-based business, and I want to sell physical products. And that's okay, because you can do all three eventually, but you really need to start with one. So kind of decide which one jumps out at you the most and say, okay, do you know what? I'm going to start with that. That's the model that I really like the look of. All right. And you can expand as you go, but we kind of want to just start with one. So then once you've done that, then number two, start to make a list of all of your interests, things that you love to do, talk about, things that you're good at. So maybe you are a closet photographer. Maybe you just love taking photographs and actually you'd really like to start some kind of business doing, you know, some kind of photography. Maybe you love gardening. My sister is a really keen gardener. I've been trying to tell her to build a business in gardening for goodness knows how long, and she's full of fear, and I need to really be in the UK with her to help her do it, but we will do that one day. Maybe you're an absolute fitness fanatic and you love talking about nutrition, or maybe you love yoga or Zumba or something like that that you really, really enjoy. Maybe you love cooking. My very good friend here in Phuket wants to start her own cooking blog, and she wants to sell recipe books, and she wants to specialize in Asian food. So maybe that really interests you. I have another good friend here in Phuket who just loves beauty regimes and skincare. She's a big believer in looking after your skin and how to hydrate your skin and all of that kind of thing. And she looks amazing all of the time, so she's perfectly suited to it. And that's what she. But she wants to sell physical products, so she wants to run an e-commerce business and sell physical products that she makes herself, oils and things like that for your skin. But she also wants to add an element of coaching to it and do some sessions on actually how you massage your face and stuff like that. So, you know, start with, as I said in number one, what model do you want to be in? And then start to ask yourself, what are some of the key, really key things that you're interested in? And the beauty of today's world is that you can almost build a business on anything, really, you know. Now, it is very true that we need to make sure that we find a niche that we can monetize. So if your niche is so obscure that there is absolutely no market out there for it, then you might have trouble. But this is the beauty of today's online world. You, even now, you could probably pick a really obscure niche. And if, as long as there is a fairly sizable group of interested people who also love that niche, then you will find a way to monetize it. So there's almost no niche, I would say now, that isn't monetizable online. So the world is your oyster. So sit down and write out those things that you really would love to do, and then go online and look for potential business opportunities. So as an example, I started with photographer. So go online and look at the different businesses that are making money with photography brands. So for instance, I always give a good example in on my blog of Emil Pekarklis, who has the iPhonePhotographyschool.com. So he basically talks about how to use your iPhone to capture amazing photographs, and he makes his money by selling video courses, showing you how to edit your photographs, showing you how to take photographs, and he's absolutely top drawer. He's brilliant at it. On YouTube, you've got Peter McKinnon, who's just become a massive YouTuber. He's got millions of followers because he's an excellent photographer. He's also a storyteller and a videographer, so he's got some skills, but he has really built his following and brand by showcasing his photography skills, his editing skills, stuff like that on YouTube. There are ways that you can go and sell your photographs on the stock sites. You can have a look at how do I actually make money as a photographer selling my photographs on stock sites. You could build a blog all about photography. Darren Rouse from Pro Blogger, he's also got a photography site. So you could build a blog, talk about photography. You could become an Amazon Associates affiliate. You could sell photography equipment from Amazon or even directly from some suppliers of cameras and stuff like that. You can go and find their affiliate programs. You can spend all of your time just blogging about it, talking about it, uploading images, you know, showcasing your photography. And then as your traffic grows, you can monetize that via affiliate marketing and also from ad revenue, because once you get sort of 10, 20, 30,000 hits a month, then you can sign up for some big ad networks and have ads on your site. So there are so many different ways that you can monetize this. You could then, if you wanted to, even create a physical products business from that by sourcing different photography equipment yourself and then selling it either on your own e-commerce store or on Amazon, or like Emil Pekarklis, you could sell video courses in photography. Do you see where I'm going with this? There are so many different ways that you can monetize your niche. What I suggested to my sister about gardening is I wanted her to start a either a YouTube channel or a blog. I'm a really big into starting your own website, as I talked about in my podcast last week, because I believe it gives you a home from which you can kind of do everything else. But in an ideal world, I wanted her to start a website and a YouTube channel where she would talk about all the different things she does in her garden. She's constantly redesigning her garden and she's amazing at it. And she knows the names of every single plant everywhere we go in the world. It's phenomenal how she can just walk along and say, that's this. I have no interest in gardening whatsoever. And I said to her, look, let's just start to build you an audience on gardening. Gardening's such a great niche. There are so many people interested in it. So let's just start to build you a blog, build you a YouTube channel. She's so engaging, and start to get you an audience for gardening, people who love gardening. And then you can do so much with that. Number one, you can become an affiliate and you can affiliate for gardening products, either on Amazon or directly for the companies. Number two, you could sell an ebook on, you know, you could write or outsource and get written different ebooks on different gardening aspects, and you could sell those online. So we could publish them on Amazon, on Kindle, we could load them onto your site and we could sell them. So you could have books on gardening. If you wanted to, you could do some little courses. She wasn't really into that, but that's an option for anybody else. You could do some gardening courses, a bit of a kind of an Alan Titchmarsh, if you've heard of him. Probably if you're in the US, you may not have. I don't know if he ever broke America. But anyway, some gardening videos and tips and things like that. Or you could source your own gardening products. You could sell your own gardening gloves. You could sell your own gardening trowels. You could sell your own, you know, whatever you wanted to do. And or you could get to the point where you've got some big ad networks on your site, or you could go to, once you've got sort of 40, 50,000, 60,000, 100,000 hits on your site, or you've got a much bigger YouTube channel, you can now go and start to work as an influencer with gardening brands who will pay you to promote their products. Gosh, so many different ways to monetize. So once you've kind of had a look at what you think your model, you know, the main model is you'd like to follow, And then you've started to think about what are my keen interests, then just go online and start to see how are other people monetizing their keen interests. So I give another example on my lifestyle business post, which I will put in the show notes, of abeautifulmess.com. These are two sisters who wanted to talk about home decor, photography, lifestyle. They brought it all into a website, which started as a blog, and they basically talk about crafts and decor and recipes and style, and they sell courses and they sell advertising revenue and they do sponsorships and they have books. They have their own Airbnb properties. I mean, they're monetizing their site, you know, every which way they possibly can. Okay, so, and if you've just got so many ideas that it's overwhelming you, if you're like, oh my God, but I love photography and I love gardening and I love baking and I love... Pick one. Literally do an ee, meeny, meeny, miny, mo. And just pick one. But even if you do, even if you are multi-passionate, there's going to be one that really stands out to you as something that you would like to turn into a business. We don't have to turn every single thing we're interested in into a business. You know, we can actually have some hobbies that we just love as hobbies. And if you are anything like me and you're a bit of a kind of a pathological entrepreneur, is that a thing? You kind of look at everything as, oh, that's a good business. Oh, that's a good business opportunity. Oh, that could be a good business opportunity. Okay, you're going to have to just really train your brain to say, all right, look, I have got 10 different interests, but which one is the one that I think I would really like to go for as a business? And if you still can't choose out of all of those, then get online, start doing some research and figure out which one is the most viable for you to monetize. So which one is the niche that A, you could probably be able to get into? So there's, you know, there's not too much competition, that there's absolutely no chance you're ever going to break into it, but it's not so niche that, you know, there isn't a big enough market. Does that make sense? So somewhere in the middle. All right. So let's crack on, because the next few questions might help you. So number three, I want you to think about the type of people that you'd really like to work with. Now, when I say work with, unless you're obviously going to be doing any kind of, you know, face-to-face stuff, what I mean is people that you'd like to chat with, network with, talk with online. Who are the people you want to have conversations with? Who are the people you want to reach out to? Who are the people that you want messaging you and asking you for help? What are the kind of problems that you'd really like to solve? Because that then might eliminate some of the interests that you think you might have and pull you back towards, you know, one or two very specific choices that you want to go for. Because when we build a business online, we are going to be dealing not only with customers, but also peers in that same industry, because we're going to be outreaching to people. We want to start building connections, building relationships, talking to other people in that industry. Plus, we're going to be answering questions from our customers. We're going to be helping them out. We're going to be solving problems, helping them with their challenges. So what, when you think about your business, start asking yourself, who is it that I'd actually like to network with? Who do I want to talk to? And who do I want to help? What problems do I want to solve? And you might decide, oh, you know what? I really want to work with creatives. I really want to work with people who kind of have this great vision. And, you know, they're just going to be a huge creative and artistic person. All of a sudden, let's say that you've got an interest in photography and an interest in, I don't know, Facebook ads. Well, then photography comes to that. You know, you want to be dealing with creatives and artists. Yeah. Maybe you want to be dealing with mums. Maybe you want to be dealing with women. Maybe there's an element of your business where you really want to empower women to go and do something. Maybe you have an interest in something that's a bit more in a man's world and you want to try and empower women to get involved in that. I don't know. It's up to you, but you need to think about who are the kind of people that I would really like to talk to and to grow my brand around. Because I talk a lot about your brand ideal. And if you actually go and listen to episode 52, it's called How to Stand Head and Shoulders Above Your Competition. I'm talking about your brand ideal. This is your brand's higher purpose, right? So if you're going to start a blog about gardening, you're not just going to talk about gardening. What does gardening mean to people? Is gardening like a meditation? Is gardening somebody's solace? Is gardening somebody's happy place? I don't know. But what does your brand actually mean to people? And I give examples of like Red Bull, for instance, which is a really bad for you sugary drink. Their brand ideal is all about extreme sports. I talk about Dove, which is body wash. Their brand ideal is all about positive body image. I talk about Nike, which is shoes and t-shirts, you know, just clothes. But their brand ideal is about anyone from anywhere can do it. You just need to get out there and take action and you can do it. There's examples of this all over the web, all over the world in business, where brands don't necessarily talk about their product or their service. They have a brand ideal. And this comes from the type of people they want to attract to them. So Red Bull wanted to attract extreme sports. Dove wanted to attract women from every single walk of life. Nike wants to attract action takers, people who are just going to get out there and make things happen. So you need to start thinking about who it is that you would really like to attract to you, to your business, the kind of people that you want to surround yourself with and network with. And that's also going to help you decide which niche you want to be in. All right, number four, I want you to consider where you want to be and where you are now. So for instance, do you want to challenge yourself? Would you actually like to go into a niche where you want to immerse yourself in that because you'd like to learn more about it? And if you start thinking along those lines as well, that's also going to help you to make a decision, because you might say, well, you know what? I do love this niche, but I'm not sure whether I want to spend all day every day talking about it, because I'm good at it and I can kind of just do it on autopilot. Doesn't necessarily mean I want to go out and share everything I'm doing with other people. However, this is something I'd really love to immerse myself in and learn more about. So I'm actually going to build my brand as I learn, and then I'm going to show and teach other people as I go. And that's exactly what I did. I wanted to show people how they could build online businesses. But at the time I started, I didn't know enough about online businesses. So I niched down and started with Facebook. Now, some 10 years later, I am fully confident, having built seven-figure, six-figure and seven-figure online businesses, I am now very confident that I can go and help other people build businesses they can run from anywhere in the world. And not only building six and seven-figure businesses, but having traveled for the last 10 years while doing it. So I am now eminently qualified to help people build a business they can run from anywhere in the world. So you might say to yourself, well, look, I really want to immerse myself in this and I'm going to learn about it over the years. So I'm going to start small, I'm going to niche down, and then as I grow my brand, I'm going to be able to grow out and really cover my whole dream. But right now, I just need to niche down and start from somewhere within that brand, and then from within that niche, and then I'm going to kind of expand out as I grow. Or you could say, actually, you know what? I've got a wealth of experience in this thing, and that's what I want to go and talk about. I am going to take what I am incredibly good at, and I'm going to go out and I'm going to build a blog about it, or a podcast, or a vlog, or an Instagram account, or whatever, and I am going to spread my knowledge amongst the people I think need to hear my knowledge. Either way, what you're asking yourself is, where am I now? And where do I want to be? So if you are really passionate about something now and you want to be talking about that for the next 5 years, great, go and start your business in that. If, however, you want to grow into something else in a few years, then you need to start. You need to kind of start with the end in mind, see where you want to be, and then niche down to now and then grow into where you want to be in 5 years. I hope that makes sense. All right, number five, are you your own target market? So I like to use the example of Joy Mangano here, who, frustrated with her conventional mop, designed a brand new self-ringing mop and went on to build a multi-million dollar empire. Have you seen the movie with Jennifer Lawrence, Joy? It's very, very good. Go and watch it. It's incredible, actually. But this is somebody who needed to scratch their own itch. So have you got a problem, something you're dealing with right now that you wish there was a solution for, that you really think others feel the same, and that you believe you could go and find the solution for? If that's the case, you are scratching your own itch. And I guess in a way, I was doing that when I started, you know. There were only a few people online who I felt were giving really good, solid information. Even now, actually, there is so much information about building an online business, but there are still some very unscrupulous characters out there and lots of people who do it who haven't done it themselves. It drives me mad. So, you know, if there's a problem or something that you think you can solve and you either have the solution now or you want to grow into the solution, then that could be a great niche to get into. Now, before I move on from this one, I actually want to give an example of a lady I was listening to on a podcast recently. Her name is Nagina Abdullah, and she was doing the Tim Ferriss slow carb diet. And she found all of the recipes super, super bland and boring. So she started her own blog called masalabody.com, and where she talked about how to spice up your meals. If you were on the Tim Ferriss 4-hour body challenge or whatever, how you spiced up your meals. And she actually found while doing it that the spices that she was adding to the food helped her to increase her weight loss. And so over time, she began writing about it and blogging about it and making YouTube videos, and she got more and more followers and more people loved her stuff. And so eventually she actually created a program called SpicySelfSkinny.com, and she runs this program now for people who'd like to lose weight via the slow carb diet but want a much spicier and tasteful recipes. And so she does that. So that is a great example of scratching your own itch. She wanted to lose weight. She lost weight through his program, but she did it through her own recipes and felt, you know what, there's going to be loads of other women who would love to share the journey that I've just been through. So that's how I'm going to do it, and that's how she built her business. All right, so moving on to the next point, number 6, can you do it better? Perhaps there's something that you have seen in the market that you believe you could do a better job of. How often do we see things and go, oh God, that's just, you know, if only I ran that business, it's how I would do it. I normally do it in restaurants or bars. I think, oh my God, if I was running this place. Anyway, or theatres, because that's my background. But how many times maybe you come across a product or a service or something that you think, you know what, I could do this so much better? There is a gap in the market for you to maybe come in with your own solution, for you to be able to start a business in that niche. And then number 7, really, it's to pick one thing. I don't know how many times I've said this over the years, but there's nothing wrong with being a multi-passionate entrepreneur. But running one business is going to be hard enough. Building and growing one business is going to be hard enough unless you have unlimited resources, unless you have a big team of people. I mean, you know, we've done well in our business over the years, and we have a team and we have people that work for us, and we still focus on one business at a time because we are solopreneurs, as in, you know, we're not entrepreneurs with huge, with 100 people and all different people in different places to run very specific aspects of the business. We're still a very small concern. We're literally building businesses to fund our lifestyle and no more. So we keep things very small. And the only way to really master and grow a solid business is to focus in on one thing. Even if you have 2 or 3 really exciting hobbies that you really, really like, unless they comfortably fit under a similar brand, then really focus in on the one. So for instance, I love to travel and I love to teach people how to build a business. Those two things kind of go hand in hand. So I can talk a bit about travel on my site, but if you go to my site, yourlifestylebusiness.com, you will notice that my content is primarily about business. And then you can head over to my lifestyle section and see some posts on travel. Whereas if you go to, let's say, Nomadic Matt's site or A Blonde Abroad, you'll see that their posts are primarily on travel and they might have a little element of business. So even though those two kind of go hand in hand, you still got to pick your one primary thing that you're going to talk about. So you may decide that you want to go weight loss and beauty. You know, those two kind of go hand in hand, right? But you're going to want to start really focusing on one, and then you can build the other. My example that I gave earlier about abeautifulmess.com, I mean, that blog's all over the place. You think, wow, how on earth do they monetize? I'm not sure what they do. They do style, they do recipes, they do crafts, they do decor. Well, they probably would have started way back when, which I think was some 12, 13 years ago now, focusing more on one thing. And then they would have gradually expanded as they've grown. And once you build a readership, once you build a following or an audience, then all of a sudden you have much more room to kind of grow and develop your brand. Does that make sense? But you really need to start coming in quite narrow so that people get to know you for something. And that's going to help you to build a readership, an audience, following, whatever you want to call it. It's going to help you to build that community of people that love what you do. And then you are going to be able to start to expand and grow. So if you have a few passions, that doesn't mean you're not going to be able to monetize some of your others. It means you need to write them in a little black book and decide on the best order, okay? Start in niche and then begin to grow as you expand and you grow your audience and your readership. So there you have it. There's some tips for you to choosing your niche. The most important thing I think I could say to you really moving forward is just start something. When I look back over the last 10 years, I could have sat there twiddling my thumbs thinking, okay, you know, I really want to do this online business thing, and holding myself back until I could, you know, think that I could run an online business, which I never ever would have got to. I knew back then that I wanted to help people to build an online business, but I knew I didn't know enough about online business. So I could have twiddled my thumb thinking, oh my goodness, I don't know enough about that yet. How am I ever going to get there? Or I could have just taken some action and started to teach as I grew. And that's the route I went down. And so as I've said to you before, I started with Facebook and started to grow into other things until I was able to do everything I want to do. So the most important thing is that you take action, because Marie Forleo says, and I'm trying to think of her exact quote, clarity comes from action. It does. Clarity comes from action, because you don't know what you don't know yet. So you can sit at home and think about it until you're blue in the face. But until you actually get out there and do it and make it happen, you're never really going to know what works for you and what doesn't. So take action, my friend. Go through those 7 points today. Answer the questions. Decide on a model. Decide on the kind of audience you want to work with. Decide on your niche and start to make it happen. Thank you so much for listening. I hope this has been useful, and I look forward to speaking to you again next week. Have an amazing week. Take care. Bye-bye. Thanks so much for listening to today's episode. To join in the conversation, please head over to yourlifestylebusiness.com, where you can find links to podcasts, show notes, and sign up to download my free ebook, How to Build a Business You Can Run from Anywhere in the World. Also, make sure you come and join our Facebook community. Just search for Your Lifestyle Business on Facebook, and you'll soon be sharing ideas with like-minded entrepreneurs all on the same journey. Lastly, if you have a moment, please subscribe and quickly rate this podcast on iTunes. It takes a tenth of a second to hit the little stars, and your rating will ensure it gets out to more people and impacts as many as possible with the message, make it happen. Thank you so much. See you next time.